Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show, presenting Bob's Bus. And today we're going to have a really good show for you guys. I mean, this afternoon, this evening, we're going to have a good show for you guys, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead on and pass it on to the founder of Bob Bus, Miss Phyllis. And Miss Phyllis is going to go ahead on and take us through this magnificent show. Go ahead on, Miss Phyllis.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We always have an exciting show, and this promises to be just as good. We have our guest speaker, Mr. Agilon Joseph, and he has Connecting Minds. So he is a part of a huge think tank on how we can get solutions together so that we can come together. He is all about being on board of building generational wealth. And for us to just let go of all of our inhibitions and just show love. And with that comes prosperity, and let go of the hate and hold on to what's positive. And I really have found him to be very interesting, enlightening, and very active in our communities. And so you say we do have him on right now?
Yes.
Yes,
Mr.
ma'am.
Greetings. Well, thank you. Thank you. Of course, we have to introduce our co-host, and that's Ms. Earlene Gray. She is our CCO of Bob Bus. Hello, Ms. Earlene Gray. How are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm super excited, happy to be here, and I know this is going to be an amazing show, so I'm just elated.
Hold on to your hats, right? Just hold on to your hats, because if you've ever heard this brother talk, you know you don't want to miss a second of it. So, all right, so without further ado, let me introduce to everyone across the world, Mr. Agilon Joseph. Take it away, sir.
Greetings, Numakiwawa, as we say, which means the universe will allow us to manifest what we want. Also, we know there's no equivalent inside the English language, so it also means good vibes only. Once again, Numakiwawa also means the new kingdom, or the new system that we have to create. And that new system is us loving on each other, like the sister so eloquently put earlier. Besides just loving on each other, we have to be moving with a purpose. And that purpose has to be for the next generation to succeed. And when we're talking about succeed, we're not talking about just in wealth and material things. We're talking about intolerance and patience and virtue and having good character, having personalities can get along with the masses of our people. We're talking about we have to deprogram ourselves from one type of mentality and reset ourselves in a new mentality, the way we see it and the way we know we want to be in the years to come. Yes, I have an organization that's called Lord African Minds, and we are pan-African. We believe and we push for worldwide African unity. The thing that we like to say, our war is not with white people. It's against racism. We know worldwide African unity will stop global white supremacy racism. So with that being said, we're out there on the front lines, making sure that we have social events, cultural activities, and providing our people with opportunities to promote, advertise, and market their economic expansion. Not in a capitalist format, even though we're in a capitalist country, because it have always been for African people or black people around the world, we have always believed in social economics, where the wealth sustains the community. The wealth sustains the village. The wealth sustains the nation. The wealth sustains the state. And the first state is the state of mind. We have to think like wealthy people. Our minds have to be our treasuries. The fortunes that we seek has to be our thoughts. And what a glorious heart that will make when we can step out and shine, knowing that as entrepreneurs, we support one another. I'm looking forward to doing more work with Phyllis Gray and Early. Did I pronounce your names correctly?
Phyllis Gray.
I kind of like messed it up.
That works too.
But they know we're real. They know we out here, we real, and we talking live.
Yeah,
right,
okay,
absolutely.
It's all good.
So one thing I would like to say. Go ahead, Ms. Folk.
No, you go ahead, please.
Okay, so one thing I would like to say, because I've actually been on Mr. Joseph's platform, and he really does have a network of individuals who are thinkers and who are doers and who are looking to make a difference in their community, as well as make sure that we are united as a people and collectively come together, whether that is bartering, whether that is, you know, communicating with each other, teaching each other about our history, teaching each other on how to teach our children the correct history of who we are, what we do, and where we come from. So I thought that was very, very interesting thing that they do in their little tight-knit community. Can you touch on that a little bit about how that whole thing began?
Sure. Once again, my name is King Ajalon Bian Subu of Lawyer African Minds and Joint African Market. I'm also a high priest in the ancient Nubian mystery science, the science of spirituality of the spiritual sciences. With that being said, I was 12 years old, and I had got baptized. I got into trouble. They let my cousin go, and they kept me in the juvenile hall overnight. And I prayed so hard that particular night that when we went to church, when they let me out the next day, when we went to church that Sunday, me and my cousin, I went and got baptized. And I was telling everybody they were going to hell and, you know, did the holy dance and, you know, and just got to shouting. And I just kind of like lost my mind. You know what I mean? I had a God that was going to come out the sky and just fix everything. And then nothing got fixed. And so I prayed to God. I said, well, instead of waiting for somebody to come back, Lord, would you just come inside me and help me unite those who want to unite where we can be the catalyst for our own change? And then I discovered somebody said, well, that's what the Quran says. It says, you know, God never changes the people until they change themselves. And then I got to studying ancient Egyptian and ancient Nubian and African spirituality. And then I opened myself up to exploring different societies and cultures and ethnic groups and religions and political systems and economic systems around the world. And I said, wow, you know, ain't nobody ever waited for somebody. They just went ahead and put it together. You know, that's liberation. That's wealth. That's power. That's authority. When people come together and they make a conscious decision to unite and say, this is how we're going to move, no one can tell them not to move in a divine order. So I kept praying, and I started writing. And then the words came out. Well, we tried Christian minds, and we tried Islamic minds, and Republican minds, and Democratic minds, and Phi Kappa Alpha. You know, we tried the sorority minds and the Mason minds. You know, let's try to have some loyal African minds. Let us be able to see, regardless of what tribe, what village, how tall, how short, how wide, how thin we are, let us just have one global mindset that's worldwide as an African mindset, and let us have one common purpose, is to be able to sustain ourselves on this planet without any alien or foreign assistance. Since they're saying that we are lazy, or that we're thieves, or that we're consumers, and all the different narratives that was put on us. And so I had that aha moment, a holy instant, where I perceived us winning. I seen the children of God, and they wasn't Israel, and they wasn't Muslims. You know, they were true living Nubian souls. They were the original people. They were the first, and they had a certain air about themselves. You know, they had character, and they had personality, and they had style and charm and charisma everywhere they go. And some people loved them. They wanted to be them. And others hated them because they couldn't be them. And I said, that's us. You know, that's us. All we got to do is love on each other. And so that's how that formulated in the early years. Just thinking to the future when we will be happy in our own and comfortable in our own skins, and when we can look out our own eyes and embrace one another and say, hey, we all we got.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I really love.
Go ahead,
Mr. Brown.
No, I was
just going to say the one. Go ahead. We get to, look,
go
we
go
just talk
ahead,
how we get excited. You go.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention how excited I was about your thought. We have the same thought pattern, which is true. You have to deprogram from being mentally blind. A lot of times we walk around thinking we're all that, and we don't really have a clue as to what it is that we're doing or what we're thriving to get to. So it's true what you say. We have to reset our mind, and that is the only way that we can start to receive positive energy so that we can come together. So I was just going to mention how much I appreciate you bringing that point out, because to me, that's the gold mine. That's the key. That's the butterfly, as I like to call it, because that gives you wings when you free your mind.
Amen, amen,
absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, Phyllis, she has been a great help in allowing me and having me and participating with me in structuring the bio and coming in, you know, putting the vision in a format where it's understood, it's understood, and it's overstood, and that has been such a blessing of the work that this glorious queen has done on behalf of Lord Upcom Mind. I'm so thankful. And Arlene, I'm thankful for you putting me in touch with Phyllis. I mean, you two queens have, from day one, have participated in my growth. And I just feel dignified, and I feel like I have matured beyond what I thought I was going to be at this moment, you know. And then this opportunity to be on the phone, to be on this radio show, to be connected to your audience. It's just a blessing upon blessing.
Well, you know, that's what it's going to take. It takes us holding hands together, literally. And where some might be able to help in one area, you're able to help in other areas. You offering that platform to Earlene so that she could express herself right in the middle of this whole protest and unrest. I apologize for speaking on behalf of her, because she's very qualified to speak for herself. But what touched me was how she was able to express herself, and people were able to feel that emotion. And it actually brought solitude to a lot of people who were listening. So it lets us know that what we're doing is not in vain. What we're doing is crucial. And thank you for giving me the credit, my brother, but the truth of it is you had all of that in you. Maybe I just turn the blinds a little bit and just let all that sunshine just come on out. But I can tell
so
by
modest.
The way
I love
when
it.
I have conversations. Well, I can just tell by our conversation that you know exactly what you need to do, and you're on a path, and you will not be stopped. And I for one, I'm very proud of you. So thank you for what you're doing in the community. I see you. You determined to Steve Harvey. I see you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And right. And before we let Mr. Brown get in, I just want to say both of you, Queen, provide our people out there to have coverage and to have investment opportunities, you know, to make to have a capital spend, to have different ways and have streams of income. And Arlene articulated that, and she invited the audience to contact her if they need her services. And I think that's wonderful that we have a format where we can let people know in the community this how this goes. And well, we will hold your hand and walk you through the process. because it's 2020. You know, we all we got. We got two people running for president, and they're overlooking what we want, which is reparation, you know, and we want to feel safe, like Lives Matter. And also, we want people to be put on trial who go out their way to harm our community, to harm people in our community. And so one of the better ways that we can speak is by creating income, by having income, and by pooling our resources together, and then we will be heard. So I just want to appreciate both of you queens for just having that knowledge and giving our people opportunity to participate.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about reparations for a minute. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Brown, go ahead.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you guys are going to finally let me in, huh? I got something for you.
Let him in. Don't let him
come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Bring it.
Bro, let me tell you. I heard you so loud and clear, man, until it's pathetic. Let me tell you something. I don't talk that much, okay? I don't tell people that much about me or nothing like that. But I got to say this because you sparked it. You said, man, you said, you know, so in so many words, it's like you got to go in you and let you come out, and then you can go in on and do what you got to do. I didn't finish high school.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my brother, yes.
I didn't finish high school, man. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm a combat veteran. I have PTSD. I struggled when I got out of the war, man. I struggled bad. I'm talking about
terrible. I salute you, my brother.
I got my head together, brother. I went back to school. But that's not all of it. I let God take. I don't know if it's your God, my God, or whatever. It was God. You know what I'm saying? He took over. I let him go ahead on and say, well, God, wherever you want to lead me, go ahead on. And you know one thing? I let God take over, man, and guess what, bro? I done wrote two books. I done did a documentary. I had this talk show. This talk show, this is the radio talk show, and that's been on air now for about 3.5 years or more, maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a television talk show. And none of it came from nobody education or me trying to copycat somebody or nothing. I didn't try to copycat no one. I went through me, through God. God showed me. And I heard you when you were saying something to that effect. I say, wow, man, this brother here know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have to include the creator in everything.
Well, of course.
Wow. But anyway, they got some people who want to ask a question or either elaborate on something, you know. So if y'all want to start letting them in,
Shall we bring them in?
Yes,
ma'am.
Shall
we bring them in, everybody? Let's bring them in.
All right. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Shabaka Harper. And I'd just like to greet your guests. Hello now. How you doing now, Ms. Foles? How you doing, Sister Arlene?
I'm doing amazing.
Oh, hello, Shabaka. Yes, thank you for always supporting us. You are so appreciated.
Most definitely. It's always an honor. It's a pleasure. And the brother, he didn't, given the humble accolades that I would give as well. You know, we're very thankful for this that y'all provide, and this platform is going to do wonderful things for the people. And I really don't got any questions. I just send my, you know, my good energy and hello to y'all people. And I'll be listening because I see the guest. He's a poet, and I'm very interested in, you know, hearing what else he had to say tonight.
Thank you, brother.
Now, how did you know that he was a poet? Because he is.
Well, you know, I'm a poet as well, and, you know, and it just came so eloquent for him to, you know, talk about his spirit like that. And, you know, I kind of fashion myself as a pan-African, you know, all black people, wherever you find this that person myself. So, you know,
that is just amazing.
You know, really, yes.
That is amazing. See what happens when positive energy is released? It all comes from you. Just, you have to open yourself up to receive it. I absolutely love what we're doing. We are all coming together. I call it the puzzles are finding each other and putting themselves together. We just have to show up. You know, we don't have to show out. Just show up. Our Creator will do the rest.
That's right.
Most definitely.
Wow.
Most definitely.
That's so amazing.
I love it. I love
it. Y'all can go ahead and mute me in case somebody else want to speak tonight or whatever. And, I'll be listening in. I'm tuned in. I'm on the bus with y'all now.
Okay, if you want to
thank
speak,
you
again,
get on the bus. Get on Bob's bus.
Yes, sir, Mr.
But, you know, if I can just elaborate a little bit more, not to take away from our special guest, but I just learned something about Mr. Johnny O. Brown. I didn't know that you didn't finish school and that you didn't let that stop you. You, from humble beginnings to who you are now in the community, all of those out there listening, if you think you can't do it, think again. You have somebody right here that's letting you know you can do and be whatever you choose to be. You just have to take the blinders off. And if you truly believe in anything, formulate it in your mind, put it on paper, work hard at bringing it to a reality. And it's just that simple. We miss the boat because we overcomplicate things. And then there's the envy and then all the other stuff that tends to get all mixed up in it. But clear your head, clear your mind, clear your heart, allow the Creator to come in and help you by way of His gift. And you can do it. I'm here to tell you. I see it all the time. Mr. John L. Brown, he just told you a whole testimony of how it can be done. Now, he didn't say it was easy. But he said that he was able to get it accomplished. So that means, guess what? You can too.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
So that's me on my little soapbox.
Okay. So I kind of wanted to talk.
I would love to salute the brother.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just want to salute the brother for having the forbearance and the patience to love on himself and to acquire what he needed. To have the right frame of mind to go ahead and to become a successful author and to overcome hurdles, you know, that, you know, all of us face in life. And it's just a beautiful thing to hear a brother of that stature put it out there to the world. Because right now, that story has put the spirit of do it, you know, just go, make it happen into a lot of,
and
those are wonderful stories. Those are testimonies of win, win, win.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're right, bro.
Ms. Earlene Gray, what point were you going to make?
Okay, I feel like double that. I'm trying to get my turn in. I'm like,
jump on
in there. Okay.
Jump on in there.
I'm going in. Okay, so what I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about is the reparations part. So I hear a lot of people speaking on reparations, which is, you know, undoubtedly due to us. But I just want to know your thoughts on it because you are working on, you know, currency and all these other things. What do you think, what does reparations look like to you? And how would you take that in regards of helping us as a people to do with that money? You know, you can't just give a bunch of people just some money and that's not growing generational wealth. That's just giving someone money. But to actually put it somewhere and do something with it. So I just kind of wanted to get your take on that.
And so when we understand the history of reparations, reparations have never been assigned to an individual. It has always been entrusted to a trust, and it had an instrument to allow the reparations to help the designated entities. And I'll give you an example. When we look at Israel, they carved out a piece of land on this earth for the Israel nation. And those Israelis are bringing in reparation money from all nations around the earth, and they're putting it into International Money Fund and the World Banking System. Also, the United Nations is participating, along with the German banking institution and several European banking institutions, as well as the American banking institution. And so Israel has trust that receives the money and allow it to go into a centralized account. And then that account allows their government to operate. And so that reparation money gave them land. It gave them a military. It gave them an educational department. It gave them different components for them to be a state. And so if we get serious about, they didn't come and get you or me from Africa, but they came and got whole villages. And so instead of giving you or me some money, we need a trust to create institutions. In order to do that, reparation has to have a component of land. And we're going to need tractors. We're going to need our own steel mills. We're going to need whatever it takes to build a civilization. And that's how reparation looks towards Lord African mind. Even like in the state of Israel or in the United States, they have what they call people go sign up for low-income housing. So, therefore, reparations will have to have a housing development program, and it has to have an apparatus where people who are not bringing in certain types of income can have assistance until they are able to be afloat in whatever system that we create. That's another form of what reparations is supposed to do. Reparation is supposed to not give the individual some money. It's supposed to give the group some money because black people were put into slavery. Black people were redlined, not the black person. And so we can even look at the Native Americans through the Department of Interior. They have the Department of Interior deals with the Native Americans, and they have a land trust, which is called reservation. And so they have what they call tribal council or a tribal assembly. And the tribal assembly has to agree on the disbursement of the money that goes to them and on what building and what they need to have a healthy reservation, right? And so once you make it to the reservation, you are included, you know, in that identity of that target of amount of money to the individual and to the society as a whole. And so I think if we're going to talk about reparations, we have to talk about group economics. We have to specify what are we asking and what are we definitely asking for. We get excited. Oh, hey, give me some reparations. Oh, they owe me a couple of million. Right? Well, we know that's not going to happen. Global supremacy racism is not going to work like that. But the United Nations, right, and I think it's going to be addressed at the World Court, and after the African Union and the European Union, also other independent nations are saying, yes, the Africans globally, for being colonized in Africa, deserve reparations. The people of the black people of South and Central and North America, which was diaspora, deserve reparations. But specifically here in the United States of America, the reparation ideal is on the table, and that's what we should be making the noise for. I know we want some people that want justice and they want the cops arrested, but I think our loudest voice should be behind the reparation question. I hope I kind of answered your question. I know it was kind of long-winded.
No, actually, it was spot on. You know, that you really did open up a great conversation, you know, because like I stated, I hear a lot of people talk about reparations, but no one has ever really put together a plan on how that would work. So you've really, you know, shed some light on, which makes sense.
in regards to our institutions, our schooling, the whole deal of our structure. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You know, I would like to shed some light on reparation also. I don't know how many of you live through the quota system.
The
quota system. Affirmative action.
Oh, affirmative action. Okay, yes.
Okay, no.
Right.
I was raised. Okay, they had two of them. They had the quota system, okay, and they had affirmative action. Okay, and both of them was a form, that's what I think, okay, was a form of reparation, but they failed.
Oh, actually, I get your point.
You got me? Because the quota system was in the South, especially in the South, where they would hire so many people, but it was like it was so unbalanced until it was pathetic. So the government came down and said, well, for every white girl you hire, you know, you got to hire at least three blacks to make it equal, you know, to try to make equal in the equal playing ground, in other words. Right. And so that didn't work. Okay, and what they was trying to do is try to help the blacks out. But you see, doing affirmative action and the quota system, we didn't take that opportunity because what happens during affirmative action was actually for blacks. That was part of our reparation, I think. That's just me. Okay? But what they did, the government came in and they started letting everybody else come in. But actually the affirmative action was to help black people out.
Yeah,
no,
that way.
Huh?
It was designed to help the minorities. However, in all due respect, I'm not sure if that would be agreeable to me as a reparation because they were trying to make sure that we were not left out because you could be just as qualified as our counterparts, but because we were of a different race, we were not getting that job. That has nothing to do with everything that you've done to us prior to us having our known freedom.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But back during that time, okay,
I think
they were looking at it as a form of reparation to try to help us out. But it failed. If we would have went on stuck together as African, like we're sticking together now, like Black Lives Matter is sticking together, this panel is sticking together. I think if we would have had that mindset then, we'd have been way much farther than what we are right now. Because
including making it right, righting the wrong of what was done, but that was bringing about equality. See, the making of amends for a wrong. What someone has done wrongfully, that's reparation. They still have to step up to the plate with that. But absolutely, I do believe affirmative action, the CEDA program, there's a few others that made sure that we were not just left out in the cold because we were just as qualified, but we were not hired. And if we were hired, we were hired with lesser value. We're still dealing with that.
Right.
But there's still that reparation where they need to, just like how they did the Indians, just how they did the Asians, they need to go ahead and pay up for the damage that was done. I feel that it would be a grand way for us to really get a foundation made out of cement. Because, see, once we get that restoration, that's why I feel like I'm working hard now to change the mindset. So when we do get that money, that little extra cash or however it's going to come in a monetary value, we can put it in a black bank. Once that black bank builds itself up, now we have black revenue for our own Wall Street. So now we can invest in some of these small businesses that have been working so hard to grow, and maybe now we can make them corporations. And then let that reparation money be in our community. where not only do you build up our strip malls and office spaces, but we actually own the land. So then I'll say, oh, okay, yeah, now you're starting to do what's right. But you're right, it's going to take all of us coming together like it does now. And once this feeling of pandemic and this feeling of unrest, once all that subsides, we cannot stop. We have to continue full speed ahead and make it just as urgent tomorrow as it is right now. See, I think that's where we, like Mr. Brown was saying, we get excited for a while, and then after we get our belly full, then we're ready to go lie down somewhere. We can't do that no more. We have to push this through to the end. We have to make sure that what our children deserve is what we're fighting to get. That's my take on it. That's my take on it.
So I would like to ask Mr. Agilon. Oh, go ahead.
we have another caller. They've been waiting for a while. We better let
them in. Oh, yes. Please, bring them in.
Okay. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Harris Walker.
State your name and where
This is Harris Walker, Hand in Hand Foundation.
Oh.
Hey, Mr. Walker.
Well, hello. Hello there.
Hey. I want to interject on what was said so far. Mr. Brown, and everybody, I want to say hi to everybody, and I hope everybody's in great health and great spirits.
Thank you.
But, the reparations thing. Let's get on that part first, because I agree 100% with everything. One thing I also agree with is that we can't wait for reparations. We can't wait another 100 years, 200 years. We have to start moving yesterday, and we have to move as a solid force. And this is one of the things that I do with Hand in Hand Foundation and also with Erlene and Phyllis and Artie's, Honey's, and all the small companies that we're pulling together under Bob's Bus is because we want to have a focused group of people, an assorted group of people, because we have to be in almost every type of business. And what the speaker was saying with I keep forgetting your organization, but the speaker,
Loyal African Minds.
Loyal African Minds. He's 100% right. We have to diversify businesses, but we have to, at the same time, be unified in business. So we have to build a circle of support that will spread the money and keep it going in a circle. And as that circle gets bigger and bigger, then we start doing. Yes, we need to have our own schools. We need to have our own businesses.
Absolutely. Like,
we need to own the property that it's on. And we need to learn to support each other. That is one of the key things that the division and the programming, I call it the programming. So when you hear that, that means everything that we've been taught to that was lies. They programmed everybody, not just us. They programmed themselves too, because a programming has to work on both levels in order for it to be operational. And what was taught was that we were that second-class citizens. We wasn't even really a citizen. We wasn't even human. But at the same time, let's look at what all our accomplishments. Man wouldn't even have got to the moon if it wasn't for our black women. We wouldn't have had a refrigerator, the steam engine, just all the adventures that we put in, and that we don't receive monetary compensation or even the credit for these. Now, how many refrigerators are there made? That by itself would be reparations. Okay.
Exactly it.
And we are some of the smartest people on this planet, as far as we are innovative, because that is our God-given gift. And I'm not saying other races don't contain that, but we were forced through necessity of living in America, away from the way God intended us to live in Africa. We were forced to survive. We had to eat the scraps. We learned how to make the delicious meals that everybody likes to call Southern food now.
Mm-hmm.
And which was really their scrap.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
right?
And I'm like this. I'm like this
right,
as far as reparations. Just move out our way. You ain't with you. If you're with us, with us. But if you ain't with us, just step to the side and let us do our thing, because you already seen what we could do with Black Wall Street back then.
Yeah.
Now, with today's technology and the knowledge that we have now because of the freedoms that we did get, and I don't believe, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even believe I believe in equal opportunity employment, but I believe not to hire a person based on the color of your skin. I want you based on the color of your talent. What can
Absolutely.
You bring? Your skin is just a shade. That doesn't show
you.
That you're intelligent. It doesn't show that you're smart. Doesn't show that you're kind. Doesn't show that you have a heart. Your mind does that. That's what I want. I want your mind.
And
I want your knowledge.
And you know what, Mr. Harris Walker, that's why you are the GOAT. That's why you're the GOAT.
You know,
so is there another
you
caller?
You heard of T.I., right?
Oh, yeah.
You heard of T.I. T.I. feel the same way you feel. He feel as though reparation, you understand, black people, we done, invented the stoplight. We invented the icebox, the all kind of stuff we invented. And we should be going back to these doggone companies and say, you making billions and billions of dollars every year. You know, where is our cut? He said, that's
reparations. Well, they're not going to give us that. So let's build a better
Williams,
refrigerator.
The first heart surgeon. The first heart surgeon. Yeah.
Right.
Daniel Williams. So you just the reparation is just making good at a wrong that has been done. And that's what they just need to own it. They need to do it. But what we have to do, see, this is what I appreciate about Agilon and Mr. Johnny O'Brown, because you are really connecting the minds of the people to get us prepared. So whether it comes with the government giving us the money or whether we're generating it and building ourselves, we still got to get our mind right on how to spend it and how to save it and how to invest it. So that's what I love about what you guys are doing in the community.
Right. And Mr. Walker, he got the resource right there, because he got, was one person talking about shopping. Well, like Mr. Walker told him, he got, he got the internet shopping, and people can shop anywhere in the world. And you can join.
And
us. We all playing a very important part in society. Very important.
But
we got
17
minutes left, and we got another person want to come in. Okay, so y'all want to let this person in?
Yeah,
we're gonna run 2 hour shows later.
Carla, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, everybody. My name is Artelius Akins. Everybody calls me Artie. I was invited tonight by Harris. Hi, Harris. To join in on this conversation. Thanks for the invite, Harris. And short, sweet, to the point, I've been listening for the last maybe 20 minutes. I like the idea of the black-owned banks. I like the idea of the irrevocable trust that can be put in place. What I'm going to do, Harris, after this conversation of what I've heard, I was taking notes on what your group is, the concept of the way their mindset is on how to invest reparation allocated funds. Okay, and I mean, I'm like so turned on by this concept, because it's like, right, okay, where is this money coming from? Is it coming from Congress, and then it'll be distributed to each state like they do everything else? I'm going to Harris and the rest of the group, nice to meet everybody. I'm going to look up what assembly and or Senate bills that have been put in place. And Harris, thank you for the invite. But this is really, really a good, fruitful conversation, because, right, when we talk about reparations, where is the money coming from? How are we going to invest it? Are all the black people just going to buy a new Cadillac and make Cadillac number one deal in the country?
That's right. I'm going
to
get
right.
Mine.
They have to rent the rim.
I just wanted, it's a blessing to meet everybody. Harris, I can't stay on long, you guys, but God bless you. I pray that the good Lord will give you strategy.
Now, who am I? Okay, now, who is this?
My name is Artie. I have a honey farm. I'm a black-owned business, and I have my own beehives. I work with Harris in his Hand in Hand Foundation, and I told Harris that I'm willing to do a $1 million fundraiser using the honey to raise the first bill.
Well, hold on. What is your name again? Come on now. Tell me your name.
Artie.
Artie, if you ever get a chance, I would love for you to be a guest on one of our shows. Lawyer of Command produces Six Souls. I would love for you to be a guest on the Truth Changes the Narrative.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I love that.
Okay,
you guys
Artie.
You guys are awesome.
I need your name. I don't know how to spell your name.
Oh. Okay, well, let me spell it for you. I'll even do better. I'll give
you
my cell phone.
Not gonna let you go.
Okay.
You can Artie. Yes, sir. And my cell
Artie
phone
Farms.
Number is Artie's Farms. Yes, I have.
I'll give out your number to him. I'll give your number to Mr. Brown, so it won't be all over the world.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
We're live, baby. We're on the radio.
We're live.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to, you know, not all. I would love to interview you myself, because I do have a television show. Okay, Uplifting Communities Television Show in Sacramento. So,
so
I would like to connect with you also with Mr. Harris.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And the whole team, you know, and Arlene
Absolutely.
And
sure.
Phyllis and his name? Joseph.
That's
you know,
one.
I think
yeah,
it would be a really good thing for us to do a really good fundraiser.
I would like for you guys to come out with me and Harris. We could even do better than that. I could take you to the beehive as a black woman business owner, show you how we filter the honey, show, I can't give y'all my recipe and all that on my honey blend.
I've tasted your honey. It is good. Very organic. I love honey. I love raw honey. I've tasted it. It's very good. This is Phyllis. I'm the founder of Bob and Buzz.
Okay. And what's your name, sweetie?
Yes. My name is Phyllis. I'm the founder of Bob and Buzz. Build our businesses.
Okay. Harris, you told me about Phyllis. Okay.
I told you about Phyllis and Erlene, because you got to get on the bus.
Yes, and I'm Chief Communications Officer of Bob's Bus.
Of
Bob's. And I'm also a financial educator. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice to meet you, sweetie. Harris talks
and
about you
And then our guest speaker is Ashalon Joseph with Connected Minds.
Beautiful.
So the whole panel. Mr. John L. Brown, he's actually the owner of this radio station. And he also
now,
has a television station of Uplifting Community.
Is that the gentleman that was just asking me for my information, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
God, see, there's a strategy implementation that's taking place. So, Harris, very nice to meet you, Phyllis. And I'm so glad you like the honey. And very nice to meet you, Mr. Brown. Harris, thank you for inviting me in. I'm going to have to fly away in about 5 minutes, everybody. But you know what? Godspeed. Let's keep these prayers going. You know what?
Yes.
It's going to happen. Phyllis, I don't know if that was you saying, you know what, once our stomachs are full and the revenue is released, is for us not to become lazy, okay, and really move forward with our other generations in building minority-owned businesses.
Yes. You heard me.
Amen.
Thank you.
I heard you.
Yes, we're doing it. The puzzle pieces are coming together.
Oh yeah. I'm just the glue guy. I don't know what y'all talking about. Give me all that praise. I'm just sticking things together.
Sweet.
You know. I did want to say.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Brown. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Very nice to meet you. God bless you. And when you get a chance, can you please get with Harris? I would love to meet both you and Phyllis. Phyllis is trying my honey. I got some goodies for both of you. Can y'all please connect with Harris so I can meet y'all in person and we can have some real conversations? Can we do that?
Absolutely. Yes.
No problem whatsoever.
And even if you want to visit where the beehives where we do business, I will be happy to set up a field trip. Harris, I'll get with you. Okay, sweetie? And we can do that.
Got you, darling.
Artie, can I ask you a question?
Okay. Yes.
My name is King Agilon from Low African Mind. I have a Low African Mind youth group, and we just got a van. I would love to set up some type of field trip where the children can see the process that it takes.
That's beautiful.
Also,
You know what? Does Harris have everybody's number online tonight? Does Harris have
everybody's cell phone number?
I only have one I don't have, but I'll get his too.
Low African Mind. I would love to do a field trip and actually show where we could video live the process of how the bees make raw honey on our bee frames and how we filter it to sell. I would love to do that. Absolutely.
Oh, that would be extraordinary.
You know, I might be able to get my producer to come out whenever we meet and also have him film it if you want to. Have him film, and
sure.
we can put it on television.
Absolutely. I'd love it. I would be honored to do that. Mrs. Group.
And, Phyllis, did you guys mention our first TV broadcast last night on IMTV 360?
No, we did not get a chance to mention it.
We did.
Oh, that's
however,
right. You got a TV show, too, huh?
Hey, I told you, I'm going to be moving in the shadows so fast.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We're swinging on some real vines. Toys in there got nothing on us.
wait until you see us 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Right?
But speaking of black banks, I did want to say there is one called One United, which is in California, in L.A., One United Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lost two black banks over the last 5 years. We only have seven left in the country. So
can
we need to support at least one.
Can I say this before, Harris, with the concept of doing the field trips for the honey and all that, Harris, you can arrange that, right, Harris?
Yeah, I'll get everything together. It's easy.
Okay. Yep. And then what I'm going to do is I work with the Northern California and many other World Trade Organizations. I know how they do business on their political platforms. But what I would like to see is a Black World Trade Organization.
That's what
it's
we're doing.
Ma'am,
let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, our assembly members and our senators, they are few in number. See, they're there. We just, a lot of the community, they don't understand how that platform works, okay?
Right.
But I would like to see trade and investment started back in ABBC time, okay? This is nothing new.
I know one person that's doing that. His name, Dr. Boyce Watkins. You ever heard of him?
Oh, Dr. Boyce? Yeah, I know him.
I believe I have, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as far as importing, exporting, you know, and that's my, as Harris has gotten to know me, that's my educational background. But I would really like to see, like, you know, a lot of the black community business owners are just learning that we don't even, our money doesn't even circulate once. The Asians,
right,
they understand the concept very well. They build their own malls. We go in and buy fake hair weave and nails, and we spend billions of dollars, and we're not even spending thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands within our own sisters and brothers within the black community.
And that is our own hair manufacturing company. Right.
That's what we're here for.
Now, it's about the creativity. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to take away from.
God bless you, sweetie. God bless you, Phil. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
We got about 3 minutes left.
I gotta go, Harris. I'm gonna let y'all go. But everybody, please get with Harris, and I look forward to meeting y'all with Mr. Harris soon. Okay, let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
All right. I would like to give our guest speaker. We just kind of flooded. He opened up the gate, and we just stormed right in.
Yes, indeed.
But that's what happens when you have something to say. Right.
You can start closing out, Ms. Phillips.
Okay. Yes. I just want to give Mr. Agilon Joseph the opportunity to speak and say what he needs to say in conclusion of our wonderful talk this segment. Mr. Joseph?
Okay. Well, I would like to read information about Law of Command real quick. The Law of Command is a system of spiritual principles organized to create minds that are loyal to Africa, wherever we are found on the globe. We don't care if you're African, Canadian, African, Nigerian, African American, African French. The connecting factor is African. Our mission is to live in harmony with Mother Earth according to our biorhythm. Law of Command's main goal is to help heal, renew the original families of the earth, black people, us true living Nubian souls. There are three tools we need for this in-depth view: spiritual culture, social economics, and academical creativity. We will examine the present conditions of our communities and then focus on social economic institutional structures and the industrial technology progress we have made or have not made. This will create an agenda that we will tackle the needs for the development of the African communities throughout the world. Our future projections. Law of Command projects within the next 10 years there will be 100% more self-made African scholars, which means you will need to be taught to learn how to take control of your own mind. The fundamentals of learning will be outside the traditional Western educational system, which is a tool of colonial indoctrination and programming of the African minds.
Beautiful.
Right on time, because we have to close, and I always like to give the last word to the owner of the station, and that's Mr. John L. Brown. Take it away, Sam.
Yeah. I salute
right,
you, Mr. Brown.
Right before we close, I always like to give a little small prayer, maybe 5 minutes.
Yes.
Lord, I want you to thank you for this group. Thank you for Phyllis and Earlene, for Mr. Walker, Mr. Joseph. Thank you for the beautiful lady, Miss Artie, coming on the show, and other people that came on. Thank you for them. Thank you for everything. I mean thank you. When I say thank you, I mean thank you, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And back to you, Ms. Phyllis.
I would like to thank everybody for coming out. Don't forget, tune in every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so that you can get fed. This is better than bread and water. This is something that's going to feed your mind. So thank you. We'll see you guys next week. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night to all.
God bless everybody.